ambassadors for miracle healing, for just to see breakthrough in people's lives. You know, I want you to be prepared to receive the kind of compassion that Jesus felt when he looked out at people. And he thought, man, I want to do. And he would, at times he would heal everybody. At times he would just pick out that one and do something so miraculous in their life. Teach them about forgiveness and the hope that God brings and all this kind of stuff. It's like he was the ambassador for the kingdom of God. He just walked all over doing this. And I just believe that the Lord is preparing our hearts to be that ambassador. Would you just look to somebody and say, prepare. Let's go. Well, in that, thank you, worship team, for worshiping this morning. You can be seated, and children can be dismissed to children's church. God is so good. Man, he is so good. Oh, praise God. All to echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but this sermon series is one that is so big that I literally have spent more hours than I normally do studying and preparing for these things. And I've been going to the Lord consistently saying, Lord, what is the first thing you want to talk to us about? What is it that we need to understand before we build onto it or go to other things that might be a little more, I guess, familiar to the topic of miracles, healing, just how God works and ministers in powerful ways. And surprisingly, the Lord did not take me to healing first. Like the mechanics, you know, do we pray? What do we believe? Or those kinds of stuff. It wasn't quite all that. He took me somewhere else, and he took me to the first foundation of this series. And when I share this, I want you to know the objective of today's message. This isn't the whole series, but this is probably the most important concept for the rest of this series on healing. And the reason I believe I have to take time at the beginning and share what I want to share today is because I want to encourage not a seasonal faith, or a fly-by-night faith, or a faddish faith. I'm trying to figure out different ways to describe what I do not want to encourage. I believe that we have a capacity for a strong faith. A faith that is stronger than any of the circumstances in the natural that we can see or deal with. And this is so important, but we must be realistic with where we're at in our development. And my sense as a pastor or a shepherd is that we have words, but we don't have foundation. So we need a foundation that is strong enough to contain not just your favorite aspect of healing. You need a foundation that's bigger than what you thought you were going to build. You are not going to just build one little pet corner of ministry for healing. No, you need to build what the Lord wants to build. And this is a foundation for being healed, healthy, set free, bigger than a momentary miracle. This is something that I feel, man, we have to go, okay, Lord, well then let's start off with saying, we don't know anything, teach us. We don't know anything, so teach us. And I believe in this message, I will encourage a stronger faith than maybe what you came in here with. And that faith will not be weakened in the face of sickness, disease, suffering. These are important words. Sickness, disease, or suffering, or even death. Your faith must be strong even in the face of those things. So I've designed this message to begin to lay that foundation. Now, eventually, we will cover topics like healing. And I'm going to focus on even spiritual healing. I'm going to focus at times even on mental health and healing. These are things that I believe are very, very important. But before we get to that, Here are the two things that sum up this entire message. The two truths. The first is this: God is sovereign. Can you preach it back to me? You guys are good. You know, you're getting trained. You're definitely trained. God is sovereign. The second truth is kind of a response to that first truth. Bless His name. Come on. Those two things are hand in glove, and they come together. This begins to lay a foundation for so much more than what we'd ever realize when we're talking about health, healing, being set free, deliverances of all different kinds. This is so important. God is sovereign. Bless His name. God is sovereign. Bless His name. These two things, it's like brick and mortar, and they begin to build a foundation. Now, I don't know where you come from today. Like, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know your specific struggles. But what difference does those things that I just said make? God is sovereign. Bless His name. What if you just got the worst news in the world? God is sovereign. Bless His name. What if you just got the best news in the world? God is sovereign. Bless His name. This is so important, but it seems almost oversimplistic that we go, well, that's really not what I need. Oh my goodness, it is so what we need, because it is the foundation for everything else. Now, part of what stirred me at the very beginning, I was thinking back, I was like, Lord, where did this whole series grow from? It grew weeks ago. I was in like just personal devotion, and I came across this verse in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 14. And it says, the spirit of a man can sustain him in or endure. Proverbs 18, 14. The spirit of a man can endure or sustain him in sickness. But as for a broken spirit, who can bear that? As for a broken spirit, who can bear that? Now, I want you to know this. This verse hit me like a ton of bricks, almost like a physician in a room, and I just finish an exam, and I go, oh, I just found the real problem. The real problem isn't that someone is dealing with sickness, death, disease, and suffering. The real problem is the spirit is being broken. Come on, the spirit is being broken. Now, I don't know about you, but I could not contain in this message all of the research about this reality. Starting back from back when Dr. Colbert put out a book, Deadly Emotions, where he tied together both the feelings and the heart and the stressors in life with clinical proof for all kinds of ailments and disease and problems. He would tie together everything from just simple bitterness or unforgiveness to heart attacks. And he wasn't using his information. He was taking studies from Harvard, Yale, all different major institutions for medical research. He's tying together things that we would normally not associate, but maybe we do anecdotally. And so that's some, but then that was back in 2009 and 2006. We're now in 2021, and what we see, if you talk to mental health professionals, if you talk to medical professionals, if you talk to pastors, if you talk to family members, I guarantee you, well, let's just be real, maybe you just need to look in the mirror. You just might need to look in the mirror and go, ooh, wow, I feel crappy. No matter what I believe and what I think I believe or what I say, man, I just feel horrible right now. And I just don't know if I can make... What? I believe we are at this point where there is a breaking point in the spirit of Christians all over this country. Now, this is our country, but I don't believe it's limited to our country. The nations of this earth are at a boiling point where they are just... You can look in the news and you can research it and you can see, man, it feels like everyone is at this boiling point of breaking. It's a unique time. We've been in similar times before, but not exactly like this time. And in this moment, my heart is filled with compassion because I go, I don't want to see good Christian spirits be broken, because if their spirits are broken, I don't care what physically they're facing, they won't be able to endure it. This is such a need, and we cannot address the physical stuff at the expense of the spiritual stuff. I can heal a physical body, but if your soul is distorted or deformed or broken, you will suffer far worse. And I believe that the Lord's most important goal is to not just heal your temporary situation, but to heal your soul. This is good, because if you don't share the same agenda as God, then you will be at odds with Him at times. You'll be telling people something that God isn't telling them. God is saying, my heart is that I am not going to save your physical body. I'm going to remake that puppy. He is not going to save America in the ultimate sense. He is going to remake this place. So there is a lot about sin, suffering, sickness, and disease that isn't the primary objective. Wait, is that a Star Wars kind of thing? This is the primary objective, but it's not the primary objective, you know? And so the goal of God is He wants to make dead people alive, not just sick people better. So if that one principle I started off with is God is sovereign and bless His name, you know, sometimes that, I look at that and I go, that's just difficult. Because this isolates how I'm doing in my spirit. Because if I'm going through a situation and situations change, if I can't bless His name, then I have a problem in my spirit with His sovereignty. Come on, if this doesn't make sense, I can't hardly move on beyond this. If I can't bless His name in the middle of whatever circumstance I'm in, then my real issue, no matter what my eyes or my feelings tell me, is my heart does not understand sovereignty. So then I have to understand sovereignty. So I was asking, myself, I was like, man, what kind of a story illustrates this? Well, in 2006, well, it's actually from, is a couple years. So there was a name of a lady from a small country in the Horn of Africa called Eritrea. That's the country. Some of you may know it. I didn't know it. Public school? Anyway, this woman's name is Helen. And Helen, in this little country in the Horn of Africa, spent 2 years, well, a little over 2 years, 29 months exactly. And she spent these 29 months in two different cells made from steel shipping containers with no more than about a book size window at the end of this 20-foot steel shipping container. And through that little window, ventilation was supposed to happen and whatever light in that whole room. And in that room, there was as many as 18 women crammed all together in that little room. You're talking 29 months over 2 years she spent in this kind of condition, in the heat and in that cramp. Now, in this, the day that she was put in there, everybody's in frantic stress and pressure and all this kind of stuff. She was put in there because of her faith. And as she's there, that first day, she realizes as she begins to itch that the entire floor and everything there is infested with both fleas and lice. So over the next 29 months, those bites and things, the itchings, became open sores. And then not just that, with 18 women in there, there was all kinds of cramped conditions. You could barely lay down and sleep in that. And then the guards gave them 1 5-gallon bucket to share in that dark to use the bathroom in, and it was emptied one time each day. That was it. The stench, the conditions, everything about it was more than what I could probably understand. And so this is the way she stayed in this. And since Helen was a believer in Christ, some of the other women there asked Helen, what should we do? Now, I want you to think about this. I just said, no matter what you're suffering, no matter what disease or sickness or persecution you feel, God is sovereign, bless His name. Does that work in Helen's situation? Now, when I say that, if I was just a regular Joe, I'd be like, you are such a jerk for thinking that. That is not nice. It's not compassionate. I don't even think you understand what she's going through. How can you be so insensitive to look at someone in Helen's situation and tell her that she needs to think God is sovereign and bless his name? Where's your compassion? Where's your empathy? So when these other fellow prisoners turned to Helen and said, Helen, what do we need to do? This is what Helen suggested. She thought back of reading accounts in Fox's Book of Martyrs, and she said this to them, we should praise God. We should praise God in spite of these fleas. We should praise him in spite of our lice. We should praise him in spite of the heat. And we should thank God for our circumstances. Now, some of us would go, I refuse to thank God for these circumstances. They didn't come from him. We're going to get into that. It didn't come from him. You don't need to worry about that. It didn't come from him. But what she's saying, don't miss it. She's saying we better thank him in the middle of this. Now, some of you just are, I have to get a bigger foundation. That's what it really means. You go, I just don't think I have the capacity to do that. You know, it's like, I'm not there. And you know what? That's what those people asked her, and she said, this is what we need to do. And so she took a step of faith, and she began to sing and to pray, and then occasionally quote scripture she could remember. The whole group of these ladies began to do this. They passed their time singing and praying, and she would quote scriptures for us. This made the guards so angry, and over these 29 months, as they continued to make this their modus operandi, they did this. This is what the guards would do. They would take them one by one out of their cell. They would force them to hold large, heavy stones over their heads until they couldn't hold them any longer, and they'd be dropping them on them or collapsing in the heat. They would take them, and the guards would handcuff their arms and their bodies in contorted, painful positions and leave them for as much as a whole day in that position. Helen, at one point, she was handcuffed in a contorted position and left overnight, and she thought she was going to be so cold in the African, you know, section of Africa where she was at that she was going to freeze to death. When they finally came and got her, her arms and her feet were so swollen from lack of, all the circulation and everything. When she got into the little steel cell, the other prisoners rubbed her hands just to get the circulation to go and huddled closer to her just to keep her warm. And they continued to do this, and at one point, they asked her, they said, how in the world are you not breaking? When Helen was released, she said this is what got me through it. She said, I saw the entire thing as a test. I saw the entire thing as a test for my faith. And she told reporters this. She said, this is in 2006 when she said this. She goes, you cannot ask God, why did you do this to me? Come on, some of you have struggled with this in your Christian faith. Don't be embarrassed about it. I've asked that before. God, why? Now, sometimes I phrase it like, why did you let this? Or, but you know, in the moment of yuckiness, come on, be real. You go, why did you? It's kind of the ugly side of, if you are sovereign. Why did? Well, she says, you just don't ask, why did you do this to me? Here's what she says. Because I know he is such a loving God, and that is why he died on the cross. Period. So it is a very silly question to ask. I kind of go, wow, she made it real simple there, didn't she? She kind of like, way to make it simple, kindergarten, you know? And she's right. She goes on to say this. Instead, we should all ask, what should we be learning through this? And I decided to stand by faith. I decided to stand by faith. And it didn't matter what the cost was going to be, because I know that everything costs a price. Bread costs a price, cars cost a price, houses cost a price. And if I'm going to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am sure it is also going to cost a price. I look at that and I go, all right, I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about God's sovereignty. I really don't. I am a pampered American preacher. I just am. I whine if I don't get a cappuccino. I whine if something doesn't go right. I whine if the AC has been broke for 4 weeks over there. I've been whining for 2 days. I'm like, you know, this is my level of, okay. You guys are like super spiritual compared to me. I'm telling you, man, it's horrible. Well, not too long ago, we, instead of chocolate chips, we had butterscotch chips. You would have thought it was the end of the world. Oh, too sweet. I can't take the brown sugary goodness. Ah, it's like, oh, I need chocolate. I need dark chocolate. I need milk chocolate. None of this butterscotch. All right, I want you to just relax for a minute and say, you know what? Pastor Ben, I need to hear what the Lord is saying today. If what He wants to teach us is first and foremost that God is sovereign and that I need to bless His name, and when you tell me a story like Helen's and how she refused to cave, her spirit was strong and it sustained her through even that, then Lord, help me understand what it takes. How can I be prepared for miracle power? How can I be prepared? Because I guarantee you there will be a situation where you yourself will be physically sick or ill, but you will be praying for someone else who will be miraculously healed. How are you going to handle that? There are many things in this whole relationship with God and exercise of faith that you can't reconcile. They're at tension with each other. So we need to learn. And so I turn my attention, and here is where we first go. I want to say this is for today. This might be our key verses. Exodus 15, 26. If you're taking notes, here are some key verses. Exodus 15, 26. And then partnering with that, we'll look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. If you want to know, in addition to Exodus 15, 26 and Deuteronomy 32, 39, the scriptural story that I will loosely reference here and now will come out of Job. Job 1, verse 21 will be our ending verse for today. So let's read these verses. Exodus 15, 26 says this, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. Here's the phrase that I want us to know. For I, the Lord, this is all caps, I, the Lord, this is God, big, big God, am your healer. I, the Lord, am your healer. This is important. Who is your healer, church? This healer isn't just limited to a physical healing. So who is your spiritual healer? Who is your mental healer? Come on, man. This is good. This is so good. In Deuteronomy 32, 39, it says, see now that I am He. This is God talking. And there is no God, little g, beside me. It's so good. See now that I am He. And there is no little g God beside me. This is what the Lord is saying. And it is I who do what? This is what He does. It is I who put to death and give life. Wait a minute. Who puts to death? Okay, come on, preach it back to me with confidence. Who puts to death? Some of you need to expand your philosophy. Who puts to death? Is He sovereign? If He is sovereign, who puts to death? Who puts to life? That's awesome. And it says, I have wounded, and it is I who heal. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. This is a beautiful Hebraic phrase that just says, I am sovereign. That's really what he's saying. Don't read too much in it. Don't get caught up in words. This is a concept that the Hebrew mind is saying, I get it, Lord. I get it, Lord Jehovah. You are over everything. And because of this, There is no one who can deliver from my hand. In other words, what God is doing and what he wants to do, what he doesn't want to do, you can't change any of it. You can't do, he's God. There is no wiggle room. There isn't God and then a little space in his kingdom for a mini God that can run that part of the kingdom. He's over everything. This is a wonderful concept. And then in Job 1:21, this is where we're going to end today's message. It says in verse 21, Job says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What in the world? The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of you know who Job is. You know his story. Why is it that it's difficult for some to look at this verse and see the hope and see the joy, the strength of a spirit that is unbreakable? I mean, I watched a movie about being unbroken and unbreakable. That's nothing compared to this. Job refused to break, and I love that idea. So let's do some definitions here as we get into this, laying some foundation. Let's talk about sovereignty. What does it mean? Here's a definition for sovereign. Sovereign, if you were to look up in Webster's dictionary, and especially in the older one where there's a lot more scripture, you know, tied into his definitions, he says it's the supreme or highest power superior to all other powers. Supreme or highest power, it is superior to all other powers. Everybody believe that about God? I believe that about God. I just need it to go deeper. I believe it at a surface level. I want it to permeate the DNA of my whole being. That God is the highest power. There is nothing big or bigger. You know, as it states in Revelation 19:6, it's like what we read at the end of our worship time. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. There is no higher power. At the beginning and at the end of the Bible, you see this like bookends. God is almighty. He created, he sustains, and in him and through him and by him all things were made and have their being and all of this. And then at the end, he is still over it all. He is supreme. There is nothing that has ever happened outside of his authority. I look at that and I think that's amazing in Genesis 17, 1 through 22, but I'm just going to focus on one thing. It says, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appears to Abraham and he says to him, "I am God Almighty." This is how God begins to reveal himself at the beginning of the Bible. He says, "I'm Almighty, I'm sovereign, I'm all powerful." For him, what it meant is, if you're 100 years old and your wife is in her 90s, holy cow, what does this mean? I'm gonna go against nature and you guys are going to have a baby. That's crazy. And you know, in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, verses 37, he visits a young virgin girl and he says, "You're going to have a baby and you're never going to be sleeping with a guy." Isn't that amazing? I prayed for that to happen with all of my daughters. No. Only dads understand that. And, you know, as I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed, but Haley's like, "Dear God, take me out of this room right now." So, I'm sorry, Haley. I'm sorry. So, Petraea, you know I embarrass us all the time. So. All right, so, but look at this in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1. God talks to Mary, and she's going, "What?" And he goes, "Hey, nothing is impossible with God." Why? He's, like the song says, good God Almighty. He is almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful. In Matthew 8, 26 through 27, it's even the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus, and they were like, "Oh, he is all-powerful. He's better than any Marvel comic, DC comic hero, any of that kind of stuff." It's just unbelievable. Back in Psalms 135, I'm just cherry-picking verses that I liked. In Psalms 135, 5 and 6, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and the Lord is above all gods." Verse 6 says this, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth." Whatever he wants to do, he does. can we just say, I give you permission, God, to do whatever you want to do. To which he goes, that is awesome. Say it again. Oh, Michael, Gabriel, come listen to this. Say it again. Wait for it. God, I give you permission to do whatever. Yeah, I know, that is awesome. That is so funny he said that. I'm sure they're cracking up. It's on his favorite playlist. He's like, oh man, I need to lighten up a little bit. Oh, look, oh, that's so funny. Whatever you want to do in heaven or earth, you can do. You know, in light of this, it's funny how James says it in this way in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, here we are. We don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. And we're just a vapor. We just appear and we disappear. That's it. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this, I'll do that. If the Lord wills. He's reminding us that we are really so small. Hard to even contain in the words and descriptions I'm given. And I just look at this and I think that's amazing. But that is just the tip of the iceberg of what it means to be sovereign. God is sovereign over everything. Now, out of this sovereignty, which I believe is the cornerstone of all the things we're going to be talking about, especially to have an overcoming faith, you must believe that you are serving, that you are in relationship with an all-powerful, omnipotent God. This is so good. And you've got to believe this because you will face things that seem are bent by mankind, broken by mankind, but God can straighten it. And if God wants to bend something, I don't care how many verses you throw at him, you can't straighten what he wants to bend. Now, some of us need to include that in our theology because you are a bossy Christian. You're an arrogant Christian, and you tell God what he must obey and what he won't obey, and you throw his own words back at him. And I'll tell you, in a marriage relationship, if never mind, we can't go there. We can't go there. It's too sensitive. You don't throw people's words back at them as, oh, yeah. And it won't turn out good in our Christian life. You will look embarrassed. You will be made foolish because God wants to prove to you, go ahead, tell me I can't do what I'm going to do. Go ahead, use my own words against me. This is good because some people have not overcome chronic illness and they are struggling with it. And what you need to understand is God is sovereign, bless his name. And we are focusing on the, you will, you've got to, or what? Or what? You're not going to bless him? Okay, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Because here is the thing. The minute we begin to understand his sovereignty and that we are to bless him, a question arises. It's a natural question. And I just hinted to it. It's, but what about these things that our attention... This is a lot that I don't understand now. I'm new to this Christian stuff, but I am so not understanding this. I mean, is he or is he not? And can he or does he not? And then I read this, and but then I did that, and it didn't. And then I just don't understand. Let me boil it down in this way. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as high as the heavens are, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ooh, wait a minute. The bottom line is we have a problem with understanding and perspective. So understanding and perspective are the two kind of issues that come up when we talk about God's sovereignty. First is a total misunderstanding. Second is we just distort everything with our own earthly perspective and it kills overcoming faith. You must say to yourself over and over again, if this is a weak spot, you don't have to understand. Okay, so now as a guy, this is, I'm saying this to you, but inside I'm like, ain't gonna happen. I must understand. God, I can't do until you make me understand. And he's like, if I have to wait for you, it will never get done. You just don't understand. I've tried to teach you, and you are still as stupid as you always have been. You just, Why don't you stop trying to understand and let me do it?
Okay. Oh,
it's like I die every time. It's so painful. And then if it's not an issue with understanding, it's a perspective. It is, this is the way I see it. This is the way I feel. This is my perception. And as you know, everybody knows, perception is real truth. No, it's not. It's your perception. Now, it might have a real impact on your feelings and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean it's true. Or we wouldn't have magicians performing from coast to coast, you know? Perception is not real reality. So then this is why I begin to refer to Job, and we're going to start wrapping this up here. Job, the main problem in Job is these two things, dealing with it. The fact that we can't fathom God. He is so much bigger than what our experience and our perspective illustrates to us. In fact, the entire book of Job, when you compare it to Proverbs, it's kind of funny. Proverbs sets up this premise. If you do, then I will do this. Proverbs is this book about wisdom where it sets up the general kind of sowing and reaping concepts, and if you do, this is what's to be expected. It's algebra. You know, it's if you do this, then I will bless you. If you abstain from this, then I will keep you from that. It's just on and on. It's like that. It's like, wow, this is great. And for anybody who likes spiritual math, they love this. This is right. This is right. This is right. And they skip over Job. Why? Because Job says something almost the exact opposite. You can do all the things that you read in Proverbs, and I won't do any of this. And then suddenly you're like, this is new math. This doesn't work. None of this works. And my brain just has exploded. You said. And so the problem is, it's not that God is trying to say, I disagree with what Proverbs states. I'm expanding your concept of who I am. He's not changing. He's expanding a concept of him. And what he's saying is this. He's saying that you will never be able to fully grasp God. This is wonderful. You will never be able to fully grasp God. If you could, well, then he wouldn't be God. Bottom line, I'm telling you, if there's one thing I think sounds smart, I'm going to test this, but I wrote this down. I thought, man, Ben, this is really smart. You better remember this. So I wrote it in my journal. And now 5 years from now, I'm going to look back at this and see if it still sounds smart. But today, oh my gosh, this is so smart. Prepare yourself for wisdom. This is awesome. Bottom line, we do not base God's worth on our own ability to understand him. We do not base God's worth on our own ability to understand him. And here's where it goes next. And we do not limit our personal responsibility to bless his name or to worship him or to serve him because of our finite perspective and experience. We do not limit our responsibility to bless his name, to worship him, to serve him, just because of our finite perspective and experience. To do either of these is to actually bring the Creator down to the level of his creation, and this is a great insult. It is what in Hebrew mindset would be a curse. It's a we don't think of it in the way the Hebrew mind would have, especially when Job's wife says, curse God and just die. What she's saying is, you need to agree with me. God isn't as big as what you thought he was. You need to diminish him in your eyes. You need to think less of him because look at your life. But Job's impeccable integrity, his spirit, which was unbroken, said, I refuse to define God's worth, look at that, by my own ability to either understand him or not. And I refuse to let my spirit abdicate a role of worship and serving God just because of this temporary experience and my perspective or yours. Wow. Wow. So in simple terms, I kind of sum even that thought up by this. Okay, God, I get it. I'm going to bless your name, even if I don't understand it, and if what you're doing, I don't like. I don't know how else to simplify it. Lord, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to bless it, even if I don't understand, and even if I don't like what you're doing. I'm still going to bless your name. I don't know about you, but when I look at that, I go, yep, that's something I can take home. And I'm going to hold on to that. Now, I just look at this and I think, okay, God, if that's my resolve, if that's my conviction that you are sovereign and I will bless your name, then this is what it says in Revelation 4:11. It says at the end of all of this, you got to hear what God is saying through John. He says, church everywhere, I want you to know, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory, honor, and power. Why? Because you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. This kind of feels like we have to submit then to the fact that he does what he wants to do. We're all subject to his pleasure. Man, that is awesome. So I look at all of that and I think, okay, God, we don't have time today, and I'm going to spread this out to tomorrow, but not tomorrow. Actually, what I'll do is I'm going to share this notes with your small group leaders today. So if you're in small group, you'll get the notes. And small groups, if you don't mind, if it works in your sessions, you can go through the 6 different sources for sorrow, death, sickness, all that kind of stuff, and put it in the context of God's sovereignty. And will you still bless his name? Looking at all these things and stuff, it's a great next step in this whole study, because if God is over it all, and like in the beginning and like at the end, he says, guys, I'm over everything, but in Genesis 3:17, he says, because you've sinned, you're going to live the rest of your life and you're going to experience sorrow, toil, and pain because of that sin. Then what in the world are we left to do? Every single one of us is not exempt from experiencing these things. The common foundation for Christian faith that overcomes and sees miracles, deliverance, and healings is this: your spirit can never be broken in this conviction. God is sovereign, and you and I are to bless his name. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And you know, the fun thing about Christian music is every now and then one of these psalmists writes a song that summarizes or kind of immortalizes a truth in Scripture. And Chris Tomlin, not too many years ago, I believe it was Chris Tomlin that wrote this, right? Isn't it Chris Tomlin that wrote Blessed Be Your Name? And he put this song, and it's just really a chunk of Scripture. He's taking what Job 1:21 says, and he just sings it. And I've been in places where people say, well, I do not agree with the fact that God gives and takes away. I'm not going to say that. I'm going, but it's what it says in the Bible. Not my God. And I'm like, you need a bigger God then. Can you stand with me? I want you to put whatever it is that the Lord's been stirring in your heart through this message. Because I don't know how this meets you. But I want to challenge you to do what maybe Helen would have challenged you to do. If you're in the darkest of times, it still applies. I don't know what you're facing, but boy, if you're in the darkest of times, this is the perfect time to say, God, you are sovereign. And I don't understand it. I don't even necessarily like it. But I do hold this conviction. I will bless your name. I will praise your name. I will exalt you. And you almost have to tell yourself to do this. And this isn't just mental. This is like literal. You got to put action into it. And I believe in that action step, God sees that and he begins to meet with you and work in you in a way that is, it's mysterious and wonderful. And God changes us. There's a grace that opens up and flows into our hearts and our lives. He sustains us in those moments. It's like His presence is attracted to a person who says, even if I don't understand you, even if I don't like you, His presence is attracted to this kind of a faith, this kind of a spirit. It says, oh, I like what I see. And God's presence draws near. Then the byproduct of God's presence is the fullness of joy, provision, more than what you could ever kind of even ask for or understand. If you begin to take these steps of faith and just bless His name, it's like you open up the windows of heaven and invite the presence of the Lord to come and do what only God can do. So in closing today, I want to pray and I want us to sing the chorus in this verse. And if you want to take some time and just pray and worship, I encourage you, do not hesitate. And if you're going through something big, this is your day. Take a step of faith. Spit in the enemy's eye and just say, I will bless your name. And see what the Lord does. So Heavenly Father, I come to you now kind of vulnerable and laid open because God, my little brain cannot grasp how big you are. And I don't understand your ways. And I don't understand why we experience the disappointments or the setbacks or the pains in our life at times. But God, I do know this because your word tells me you are almighty. You are omnipotent. You are over it all. There is nothing that can happen without your hand and without your authority allowing it. God, I can't even reconcile the tensions. And so I give them up. I give them up and I just say, I throw them off. And Lord, I don't want to think about resolving those tensions. I want to think about you. So Holy Spirit, come and flow in this place and in every vessel here and exalt in us an attitude of gratitude and praise and worship. No matter what is going on in this world, we have made up our mind to bless you. We have made up our mind to praise you. We will not give up doing that. We will not be stopped. Because you are worthy, worthy, worthy. In Jesus' name I pray this. Let's put this song in celebration. Oh, yes. His name.